Joe Riccio of Down East Magazine, Food Combat TV, with us for this week's Shut Up and Eat.
Always rocking the bell bottom. You know?
Oh, yeah, why not? Why did that trend go away? Those were so comfy, and those Sansibelt pants with a nice stretchy waist. I'm loving those.
I know. There are all kinds of things to distract over my double chin, you know? Like, look down.
Look at those pastels he's wearing.
Look at those bells. Yeah, see? Too bad that I wasn't born yet then.
I know.
I wish I was.
And too bad for me that I was then and had some of those bell bottoms. I wish if we could trade places. I'd be more than happy.
Yeah, because during when I was growing up in my late teens is when kids were wearing the JNCOs, the big raver jeans. So I think they're basically like one big bell, essentially.
Yeah. It's true. Absolutely.
So, I had a pair. They were pretty awesome. They had flames on the back.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I'm jealous. This often happens when we talk to you. I'm jealous of what you've been eating. Do I have to go to Gloucester, Massachusetts to get that awesome roast beef I saw?
You just have to go to Massachusetts, you know? I mean, it is literally, I don't know what they do there. You know, it's not like, you know, the beef is any different or I don't know. I don't know what it is that people in Massachusetts just understand how to cook roast beef, nice and rare. Slice of paper thin and pile it on a bun. Nobody else really gets it. There's no like dark brown deli meat. You know, it's like literally the most luscious, perfect sandwich you'll ever have. Any place you go, it's the same ordering protocol. You have like a junior beef, like beef, super beef. So you're always going to get the super beef, whether you're at Pete's in Revere or Bill and Bob's next to Kathy's Liquors on Route 1 or that place that I went to in Gloucester, was it Supreme Beef, I think, is what it's called?
Yeah.
I just literally, any place I am in Massachusetts, I just put in Super Beef and have my location services on. It brings me to some place, you know, where they get it right. I've never had a bad one, except for some reason I am not a fan of Kelly's. I don't know why. Everybody else is.
My theory on roast beef is that there's no good and pretty good. It's either great or I don't want it. What are the keys to getting great roast beef? Now, you mean you touched on it. It's got to be cooked right, and it's got to be sliced right.
Yeah, I mean, I've never made roast beef like that before. I don't know how they do it. It's almost like, I mean, I feel like most of these places have been doing it for like 60, 70 years. They have it down to a science. They can, like, you know, look at it from across the room and know if it's done or not. I mean, I guess, as with any meat, I mean, the key is don't overcook the thing. You know, but properly render the fat, yeah, and get that paper thin slicer going, but keep it nice and rare. And I don't know, I don't know what they do, but I've never had anything like the roast beef I've had in Massachusetts, nowhere ever.
Joe, when you go in a new restaurant for the first time, when do you know what's your first sign of which direction it's going to go for you?
Let's see. Well, definitely, if I see any of the big buzzwords like artisanal, you know, farm to table, I'm not a really big fan of house made. You know, anytime they're pushing that agenda, or if there appears to be some kind of mission statement on the menu, I have a good feeling it's not going to go well, because I really don't care what the mission statement is. I don't like the chef has any mission other than making me happy with good food. It's a pretty simple mission for most people that open restaurants. I don't know where the disconnect was there. The older I get, the more I just despise people like that.
And how much detail, speaking of that, do you want on the menu?
You know, that's a funny thing you say that, because I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, you know, back in the day with a diner, it's like you could just put omelet, you could put, you know, ham and eggs, turkey sandwich, because there were certain things, you know, it was pretty standardized as far as what was going to be on those things. However, I feel like if you're doing a chowder and maybe it's got some, like, porcini mushrooms or something different in it, I mean, you kind of got to list that so you don't have somebody ordering it, you know, thinking it's going to be New England fish chowder. So I've kind of wrestled with, I mean, I guess the system is fine. Like, we list ingredients. I don't think you need to list more than four. Like, if you need to list more than four ingredients, you know, your dish is overcomplicated. You should be able to sum it up, you know, or, hey, if you're a good writer, write a small description for fun if that makes you happy. But if you're doing things that are, you know, just be like, picture your mom going into the place. And like, would she need a description of this beyond just the name of the dish? That's a good criteria, I think, to use. So, yeah, I'm okay with a few words. I don't need the life story and the origins of the dish and this and that. I don't need to know all those things. I just need to know, you know, some basic ingredients so I know where it's going with flavor, consistency, you know, heat, et cetera.
How about specials? How important are those to you?
That's kind of a vague question. I mean, I guess specials. I mean, I like specials. I think they get that sort of stigma around them where somebody's like, oh, they're using old product and they're just trying to move it. It's like, yeah, maybe if they're serving like salmon chowder at brunch, that might be the case. I wouldn't recommend it. But, you know, I mean, like sometimes cooks just get bored of the menu and they want to do some different stuff. Or maybe you go to that restaurant once a week, so you've tried everything. And, you know, I think specials are – I can't really make a blanket statement about them. But I'm generally – let's put it this way. I will always listen to the specials, regardless if I've made up my mind or not. And I really hate when I'm waiting tables and I'm reading specials or going to specials and people like wrinkle their nose at something that sounds like something they wouldn't like. That makes me want to punch them in the face.
I think one of the specials that jump out at me when I see it is something that's a seasonal special, something that's tied to maybe an ingredient that they can only get for, you know, a month at a time or whatever. Yeah. Something.
Absolutely.
That.
Maybe he did forage some chanterelle mushrooms or whatever. It's like, he doesn't have enough to keep them as a menu item, but for the duration that they have white truffles or whatever, they're going to be special. I think it's fine. They can be special.
Now, when you're working at a restaurant, how annoyed do you get with the people who want to order off the menu?
I mean, it depends. Like, well, first of all, it depends on how they ask. Worst thing they can do is be clearly lying about an allergy when they just don't like something. That is pretty much that, you know, makes it, I'm going to make their life as difficult as I possibly can once I realize they're doing that to me. But if you're just perfectly reasonable, if you're like, look, you know, if you don't make a big deal out of it, then I won't make a big deal out of it. And like, don't act like you're some kind of martyr because of your food choices or allergies. Make a big scene, you know, like by showing everybody you're getting special treatment. Just simply ask, say like, you know, this is the case. Is there any way that you might be able to do this? You know, just be nice and ask about it. It's just, you know, the same way you'd like to be asked a favor. And they're going to tell you. They will tell you if we can or we can't. You know, sometimes it's possible and sometimes it just isn't. I think it's okay to ask within reason. But just, you know, just be respectful and be reasonable and don't be like, hey, I see you have, like, spaghetti. Can you go make me some zoodles? Like, I'm not gonna make you any zoodles, guy. I don't care if you're on the Whole 30. I'm not making you zoodles. That's how it goes.
I was at a place.
That's your cross to bear.
That's right. I was at a place recently. I had a great meal, but I felt like they had about seven different dishes that featured duck eggs. Did they become trendy all of a sudden?
I don't know. That's weird. That's a lot of duck eggs. I mean, duck eggs are nice because they're really pretty and that color, the yolk, and they're. Sometimes it's funny, I wonder why more people don't serve duck eggs, but it sounds like you've discovered a place that took that way overboard, because I don't think, that's a lot, yeah, I don't see any reason to have six items on your menu that involve duck eggs, but.
I looked out back to see if there were ducks being kept somewhere, and there was who knows.
No ducks?
Not that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a surplus of duck eggs. And they put a moratorium on hen eggs until all these goddamn duck eggs are gone. Yeah,
do what you have to do. Service those ducks, and then the next thing you know, look, duck l'orange. Aha, okay, fantastic.
You know? Yeah, put a duck egg on it. You know, whatever. It makes everything better.
Perfect. Joe Riccio, Down East Magazine, Food Coma TV. Every Friday, Shut Up and Eat. Joe, thanks as always. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too.
We'll see you next time. It's 5:32. Heading home here on Downtown. When we come back, we got your good.